sounds like rock and or roll.
As to where I am at, I feel like a mouse and you act like a cat. I'm dazed and confused, hanging on by a thread. I'm being abused, I'd be better off dead, did I? Can't stand this tease and I'm starting to crack. You're out to get me, you're on the right track.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. And what we're hearing right now is a song called Dazed and Confused, written by American songwriter Jake Holmes. Jake Holmes' career began in the mid-60s when he wrote songs for the Four Seasons and then Frank Sinatra before releasing his own solo album, The Above Ground Sound of Jake Holmes, in 1967 when he was 28 years old. And Dazed and Confused was the first song on the second side of The Above Ground Sound of Jake Holmes, 1967. Not long after that album was released, Jake Holmes opened for the Yardbirds, featuring Jimmy Page, in New York City, when the Yardbirds came to tour the U.S. The Yardbirds' drummer, Jim McCarty, remembers that both he and Jimmy Page went out the very next day after Jake Holmes opened for the Yardbirds, and each bought a copy of The Above Ground Sound of Jake Holmes, specifically to hear Dazed and Confused again. That's how Jim McCarty remembers it. And not long after, the Yardbirds added the song to their live set, where it stayed for at least a year. And the band apparently also recorded the song for a Peel session. So Jimmy Page saw Jake Holmes perform a song called Dazed and Confused, purchased the record, according to Jim McCarty, containing the song Dazed and Confused. His band, the Yardbirds, then started playing Dazed and Confused live. And a year later, his next band, Led Zeppelin, included a song called Dazed and Confused on their first album. But the Led Zeppelin song, according to the record, was written by Jimmy Page, and Jimmy Page alone. So the question is, who deserved credit for writing the song Dazed and Confused as it appeared on the first Led Zeppelin album, which was released in 1969, only 2 years after Jake Holmes released his initial recording of a very, very similar song called Dazed and Confused. The lyrics are almost completely different, but the song title, basic melody, walking bass line, haunting atmosphere, all of those elements of the Led Zeppelin song were all pretty obviously directly inspired by the Jake Holmes song. To me, it's rather obvious that Jake Holmes deserved a co-writing credit for the song. More than deserved, I mean, clearly, Jake Holmes co-wrote this song. And when Jimmy Page took all the credit, he was in the wrong, and he was essentially defrauding Jake Holmes. Of course, no one, not even Page, knew at the time just how much money was at stake, but Page made no subsequent effort to right the wrong. Quite the opposite, in fact. Here's what Jimmy Page said in a Musician magazine interview in 1990 when asked about Dazed and Confused and Jake Holmes, and this is a direct quote from Jimmy Page. "I'd rather not get into it because I don't know all the circumstances. What's he got? The riff or whatever? I haven't heard Jake Holmes's version, so I don't know what it's all about anyway. Usually my riffs are pretty damn original." Now, clearly that quote is outrageous. Not only because the Yardbirds played a cover of the Jake Holmes song live for over a year after Jake Holmes opened for them, but also because if you listen to both songs, obviously Jimmy Page heard the Jake Holmes song because he copied it. But think about it. In 1990, when that interview happened, no one would have heard the Jake Holmes song, and it would have been really difficult for anyone reading that interview to go hear the Jake Holmes song. It's not like now where you just go to YouTube and you can hear it in 5 seconds. At that point, the record was long out of print, and how are you going to be able to hear the Jake Holmes song? So Jimmy Page could have counted on the fact that 99.9999% of the people reading that interview would not have heard the song and would not be able to hear the song and would not bother to go out and try to hear the song. So he lied, essentially, knowing that he'd get away with it. Of course, it's completely different now, and he wouldn't get away with it because anybody reading the interview would easily be able to hear the Jake Holmes song and easily be able to understand that clearly Jimmy Page was familiar with the song and ripped it off. So the question is, why would Jimmy Page take full credit for the song? And why all the way up to 1990, which is more than 20 years later, why is he still denying that he even heard the Jake Holmes version? I mean, I don't think it was money, because obviously even without Dazed and Confused royalties, Jimmy Page had plenty of money. Half of the Dazed and Confused royalties is a drop in the bucket to Jimmy Page, right? But what about to Jake Holmes? I remember reading a Patti Smith interview where she described how she supported her family for years just off the royalties generated by Bruce Springsteen putting Because the Night on his live 75-85 box set. Imagine how much money Jake Holmes would have earned over the years if he had been given a co-writing credit for Dazed and Confused. The song's been included on more than 10 official Zeppelin releases, which have sold many, many millions of copies. For some reason, Jake Holmes waited until 2010 to sue, and the lawsuit was settled out of court, so I guess they paid him off, but obviously, he got ripped off big time. An interesting side note, Jake Holmes went on to be a jingle writer for TV commercials, and he wrote, "Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too, and be all that you can be for the U.S. Army?"
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days, there seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze. I'm a Pepper, he's a Pepper, she's a Pepper, we're a Pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? I'm a Pepper, he's a Pepper, she's a Pepper. If you drink Dr. Pepper, you're a Pepper too. Us Peppers are an interesting breed. An original taste is what we need. Ask any Pepper and he'll say, only Dr. Pepper tastes that way. I'm a Pepper, he's a Pepper, she's a Pepper. We're a Pepper, wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? I'm a Pepper, he's a Pepper, she's a Pepper. We're a Pepper, wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? Be a Pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
Come on.
Be a Pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Be a Pepper, drink Dr. Pepper. Be a Pepper.
So in this episode, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you some of my own personal favorite Led Zeppelin songs, interspersed with some of the songs that they ripped off or stole from. So that's a song called You Need Lovin', released by the Small Faces in 1966 on their self-titled Decca LP, based on a song released by Muddy Waters in 1962 called You Need Love, which was written by Willie Dixon. Clearly the Led Zeppelin song Whole Lotta Love, perhaps their most famous song, borrowed a lot from You Need Lovin', and Robert Plant was practically channeling Steve Marriott.
Woman, do you need love? Yeah.
My personal favorite Led Zeppelin album is their album Led Zeppelin 3, their third album. And probably my favorite song by the band is a song from that record called Out on the Tiles. And the working title, supposedly in the studio, for that song was The Bathroom Song, because they thought the drums sounded like they had been recorded in the bathroom.
Real sunshine. awful hard to tell.
That is another of my favorite songs by Led Zeppelin, a song called Down by the Seaside that came out on their 1975 double album Physical Graffiti, but was actually recorded in 1971. Another great song from Physical Graffiti is a song called The Rover, which had actually been recorded in 1972 and was almost included on their 1973 album Houses of the Holy. The Rover apparently was originally recorded as more of an acoustic folk song, but they beefed up the sound for its release on Physical Graffiti.
Thank you. you'll be heard.
That is a 1961 single by Bobby Parker called Watch Your Step. Pretty clearly inspired the Led Zeppelin instrumental Moby Dick. And Jimmy Page was a fan of Bobby Clark. He tried to sign him to Swan Song Records at one point. Another one of my very favorite Led Zeppelin songs is a song called Ozone Baby, which was released on the posthumous compilation Coda in 1982. The song was recorded during the In Through the Outdoor sessions, along with another pretty punky song called Wearing and Tearing. And apparently, Robert Plant especially wanted to release a single after In Through the Outdoor with Wearing and Tearing on the A side, Ozone Baby on the B side. I really wish that would have happened. That would have been a very cool single for the band to release at the time. There seems to be some negativity among Zeppelin fans toward these two songs because they think it was Zeppelin trying to adapt to the sound of the late 70s, early 80s, and, you know, sound more like a punk or a new wave type band. But I think they're both great songs, especially Ozone Baby. It would definitely rank in my top five favorite Led Zeppelin songs.
Yeah.
That is a song called Nervous Breakdown by Eddie Cochran, which a lot of people seem to think at least influenced the Led Zeppelin song Communication Breakdown. Eddie Cochran was killed when the taxi he was riding in, which was speeding, blew a tire. This was in the UK. He was on tour. He was 21 years old when the taxi blew a tire and crashed into a lamppost. Definitely one of the greatest Led Zeppelin songs, in my opinion, is a song called The Song Remains the Same, the title of which was also used for their live album and accompanying film. The song had two working titles in the studio. It was known as The Overture and then The Campaign. And apparently in the mixing of the song, Jimmy Page sped up Robert Plant's vocals to make them higher. This is a really great song.
Thank you. if it keeps on raining, love is going to break. And the water gonna come, I have no place to stay. Well, all last night I sat on the labyrinth moan. Well, all last night I sat on the labyrinth moan, thinking about my baby and my happy home. If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. If it keeps on raining, love is going to break. And all these people have no place to stay. Now look here, mama, what am I to do? Now look here, mama, what am I to do? I ain't got nobody to tell my troubles to. I works on the levee, mama, both night and day. I works on the levee, mama, both night and day. I ain't got nobody to keep the water away.
So when Led Zeppelin 4 came out, shockingly, Memphis Minnie was actually given a writing credit on that song, When the Levee Breaks. The problem is, all four members of Led Zeppelin were also given equal writing credit on the song, which is definitely ethically questionable. Another great song from my favorite Led Zeppelin album, Led Zeppelin 3, is a song called Tangerine. And apparently the origins of the song date back to the final sessions by the Yardbirds in New York City in June of 1968, and a song they recorded then called My Baby.
And then I've because I'm gone. Well, baby, you know I'm gone. Well, baby, you know I've gone.
Nobody's fault but mine. Nobody's fault but mine. But I don't need my soul to be lie. I have a Bible in my home. I have a Bible in my home. But I don't need my soul to be lie. Father, he taught me how to read. Father, he taught me how to read. I don't need my soul to love. Nobody's fault but mine. Oh, Lord. Nobody's fault but mine. I don't need my soul to love. I have a Bible of my own, but I don't need my soul to be lost. Oh, Mother, she taught me how to read. father should tell me how to read. But I read my soul below. Nobody's fault but mine. Lord, Lord. Nobody's fault but mine. I don't read my soul below. And so that she taught me how to read. So that she taught me how to read. I don't read my soul below. Nobody's fault but
So if you go look at your old vinyl copy of Led Zeppelin's album Presence, it will tell you that the song Nobody's Fault But Mine was written by Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. I want to play you one more song from Led Zeppelin 3. This is a song called Celebration Day, and somewhere, apparently in the background at the beginning of the song, supposedly, you can hear John Bonham dropping an F-bomb.
Faces cracked from smiling, all the fears that she's been hiding. And it seems that pretty soon everybody's gonna know. Yeah.
chords from the song Taurus have been the stepping stone to Stairway to Heaven. Randy California, the late guitarist for the obscure band Spirit, sure thought so. I'd say it was a ripoff, and the guys made millions of bucks on it and never said thank you, never said can we pay you some money for it.
They see you every night.
Now, his estate thinks it's time to pay.
And it makes me wonder.
It's taking Led Zeppelin to court to prove that Stairway to Heaven lifted the guitar riff written by California for a song his band released in 1968. The two bands had toured together at the time. That's something this media lawyer says could boost the case against Led Zeppelin.
To show infringement, one of the things you have to show is access to the other's work, the alleged infringing work. And here we know that they toured together, so obviously there was an opportunity to hear the other song. And that's an important factor.
Important, though not deciding factor. In pop music, the line between inspiration and infringement is a fine one. But in this case, the stakes are particularly high. Stairway to Heaven, that tune every kid learns to play on guitar, has made $500 million in royalties and record sales. Meanwhile, Spirit's guitarist Randy California died in an accident in 1997. During his life, he said he never had the money to file his lawsuit. But now, his estate has raised the cash.
There's statutes of limitation, so that could be the first defense. You're too late to sue.
The timing of the lawsuit may not be coincidental. Led Zeppelin is about to re-release all of its albums, meaning Stairway to Heaven could make even more money for the men currently listed as its songwriters. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant did not comment on the allegations. Deanna Sumanak, CBC News, Toronto.
Received a message from my brother across the water. He sat laughing as he wrote the end inside. So I said goodbye to all my friends and packed my hopes inside a matchbox, 'cause I know it's time to fly. Oh, yeah, come on, meet me in the morning. Meet me in the middle of the night.
That was a song called Night Flight, released on Zeppelin's 1975 double album, Physical Graffiti, but actually recorded back in 1971. And speaking of Physical Graffiti, the very first song on that double record, a song called Custard Pie, features a great deal of lyrics taken from two different songs, Drop Down Mama by Sleepy John Estes and I Want Some of Your Pie by Blind Boy Fuller.
On my screen, you're a dirty mistreat. I know girl what you mean. Well, my mama, she don't lie me to fool round all night long. Now I may look like I'm crazy, but don't do no right from wrong. A handful of, give me a mouthful of much of life. Well, my mama, she don't lie me to fool around all night long. Now I may look like I'm crazy, but don't do no right from wrong.
I'm not joking, ain't gonna tell you no lie. I want a piece of your custard pie. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it, or you give it all away. I'm not bragging, but understood. Everything I do, I try to do it good. You got to give me some of it, yeah. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it, or you give it all away. Now your custard pie looks good and nice. When you cut it, please save me a slice. You got to give me some of it. Yes, you is. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it, or you give it all away. Wait now. Wait, Uncle Fuller. I live right across that street. You cut that pipe, please save me a piece. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it. You got to give me some of it before you get it all away. Pay for me. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good enough for me. You got to give me some of it. Yeah, give me some of it. You got to give me some of it before you get it all away.
We'll be right back. baby. Got my load. Conduct done hollered all aboard. Take my seat right way back and watch this train move down the track.
So that is Sonny Boy Williamson's version of a song written by Willie Dixon, a song that Led Zeppelin ripped off big time on Led Zeppelin 2. And if you have an old vinyl copy of Led Zeppelin 2 and you go take a look at who it says wrote the song Bring It On Home, it says it was written by Jimmy Page and Robert Plant.
Steal away now, steal away now, steal away.
I hope you enjoyed that. Let me know what you think at the Facebook page for the Rock and or Roll podcast. Go to rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com. The email address is rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com. So there are lots of ways to get in touch with me and let me know what you thought of this episode. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with the 10-minute opening track from Led Zeppelin's 1976 album Presence. The working title of this song was The Wheelchair Song, because when Jimmy Page and Robert Plant were writing it at Robert Plant's house, Robert Plant was in a wheelchair. He had a severely broken ankle from a car accident, and he at one point feared he may never walk again. The song features John Bonham going insane on the drums. It features an awesome bass line written by John Paul Jones on a custom-made 8-string bass, and it features Jimmy Page going crazy with the overdubs. All in all, it's an absolute classic Led Zeppelin song, in my opinion. This is a song called Achilles' Last Stand. Until next time.
Thank you. I'll be back.